Let us turn now to the part of God's word that we read together. Ephesians chapter 5, and we shall read from verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Especially verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, Paul is exhorting the Ephesians to walk in love, and he's also exhorting them to walk in the light. Their whole walk, life, and conversation should be devoted to Christ. Show by your conduct that you truly love the light. Now, they should be completely separated from the world as to its ways, completely different in regard to the opinions and principles and practice of the ungodly world as such. The works of darkness are to be completely shunned. And of course, the Ephesians themselves were previously darkness. They were darkness itself, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. But they're different now. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And they are to be light bearers, so that their lives would be a rebuke to the ungodly world. But not only by their lives, they are to speak against the ungodliness of the world. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, rebuke them. You see, the evil around them is so great. It is a shame even to speak of them, he says. Verse 12. But for that very reason, these things must be rebuked. They must be spoken against. Now, Paul, he himself names, he identifies these sins that are to be rebuked and reproved. But he certainly does not go into any great detail about them. So the sins must be rebuked. But now he is saying in verse 13 that when these things are rebuked, it is then that the light reveals those things to be what they really are. The light reveals what they really are. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You see, light in general reveals, it manifests what is in the dark. And it's the light of God's word that reveals the darkness of sin. The light of God's word shows sin to be sin. So the light of the truth and the light of God's holy word reveals sin for what it is, as that which is abhorrent and detestable, that which should be shunned, that which should be repented of. So the light reveals, but also the light dispels. The light dispels the darkness. The darkness goes away when the light shines. And so it is with the power of the truth. The power of the Spirit, when it accompanies the light of God's word, regenerates the soul. The law of God is perfect, speaking of the whole revelation, converting the soul that lies in sin. And this is why the word of God comes to a sinner with these gracious, powerful words. Verse 14, wherefore? You see, he's saying because the light is so beneficial, because you can expect sinners to turn from their sin when the light shines, this is why, accordingly, he goes on to call the sinner who is sitting in darkness. The word comes with power and authority and says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." The light is beneficial, it's salutary, it helps, it transforms. And so he says, "Awake," because sinners will awake when he speaks, and arise when he calls, arise from the dead. And the sinner is being called to come to Christ. Sinner, yet slumbering in sin, how long will you love that slumber? Sinner, dead in sin, when will you not be concerned about your spiritual state? Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Do you tremble at the reality of your lost and ruined condition? You say, "But how can I rise from the dead? How can I shake myself from spiritual sleep?" Christ shall give thee light. Christ calls, Christ saves, and he shall give thee light, and you need his light to shine on you. And pray that the Holy Spirit would awaken you, arouse you, convince you, convert you, that you would awake and arise and come to Christ, for he calls you. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, the light that reveals sin, the light that dispels darkness, the light that gives life. Pray for that light. Pray that the Word of God would speak to you tonight, that the Holy Spirit would draw you to Christ, that you would be persuaded and enabled to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to you in the gospel. And the Lord helping us, we will consider first of all this great solemn reality, and that is the spiritual sleep and death. Sinners are spiritually sleeping and they are spiritually dead. But secondly, the call to awake and arise. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And then thirdly, the light and power of Christ. Christ shall give thee light. And this is the only way that sinners can arise from spiritual sleep and death. The light and power of Christ. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We should be praying that God's word would have this glorious enlightening effect, that the darkness would dissipate, and that sinners would be born again, that they would turn from darkness to light, and the power of Satan unto God, that they would receive forgiveness of sins and a glorious inheritance by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual sleep and death, the call to awake and arise, the light and power of Christ. So we begin with the spiritual sleep and death. Paul may be quoting from a familiar passage, or at least making an allusion to a portion in the book of Isaiah, or he may be summarizing several verses into one quotation. And the first and primary quotation is Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, where the Lord is calling through the prophet, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." God is calling to the church to arise from spiritual slumber, to come out of the darkness, and it is through the light that God shines upon the church. Now, there are other texts, and one is Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So it's speaking of resurrection, resurrection power. That God will raise his people from the dead, both literally and spiritually. And then one more verse we find in the same prophecy, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, where we read that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The light has shined. Christ shall give thee light. Apart from the light of Christ, everything else is darkness. But Christ, who is the light of the world, has come. And he who is the light is calling sinners and shines on sinners. To experience that light is to live. Do you value this light? Do you desire spiritual life? Well, Christ is calling to sinners as such. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Perhaps it is mainly Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, that Paul has in mind. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And so he's speaking to the church. God is delivering his church, restoring it, drawing his people to himself. The darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. But as far as the church is concerned, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Then verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So the church is being delivered from spiritual slumber and darkness. But what God is calling the church collectively unto, he is also calling individuals. And he is calling them from sleep and death, spiritually speaking. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And sinners are being called in the preaching of the word to awake from spiritual death. And the state of sinners by nature is very appropriately compared to both sleep and death. Both these words describes the condition of the sinner. Those who are without Christ, those who do not have grace, they are spiritually asleep and they are spiritually dead. Parents, pray for your children. Pray that those who are not converted, knowing that they are spiritually sleeping and spiritually dead, must be awakened spiritually. They must rise from the dead spiritually. They need the light of Christ to shine to them. Pray that if you're an older person and you're still having to conclude, I'm not born again, I'm not one of God's children, oh, pray earnestly that the Holy Spirit would take the things of the Lord and reveal them to you, that the Word of God would be made effectual to you unto salvation, because the Word of God is transforming. It converts the soul. The sinner lying in sin and darkness, the Word of God is powerful, penetrating the darkness, shining into the heart. Pray that he would shine with his face upon you. Well, do these words describe your condition today? Spiritually sleeping, spiritual death. The sinner who is not born again, the sinner who does not have grace, is in a state of spiritual slumber. A person who is sleeping is not aware of what's going on. He or she lying in bed doesn't hear the clock ticking, does not see the stars outside the window. The person who is sleeping is not speaking unless it is irrational jumble. They do not know what they are saying. Perhaps the person is dreaming. but it's only a dream. It's not really taking place. It's not identical to the truth. And very often what we are dreaming is totally the opposite of what's really happening. It's often, if not always, the very different to the true state of things. How often people wake up and they're so glad it was a dream. More often than not, perhaps. But a person who is not converted is spiritually sleeping, spiritual slumber, spiritual drowsiness, spiritual sleep, and therefore is not aware of the great spiritual realities. The slumbering soul is not aware that Satan has the person in his arms, like a parent cradling a baby and rocking the little one fast asleep. Satan is desirous of having your soul, and he's very successful in luring it to sleep. If it's there, if the soul is beginning to rouse and stir, Satan is quick to rock the little one back to sleep. And that's you, friend. And how long will you sleep? How long will you be in the arms of the evil one, spiritually, as he takes the word that is sown, takes it right out of the mind when he distracts you to talk about something else on the Sabbath and forget about the sermon? So, as he blinds the minds of those that believe not by holding sin in front of them and shutting out the light of the truth so they don't want to think about eternity and they don't want to think about Christ, he is rocking you to sleep, keeping you in his arms. Oh, how this should awaken you, it should arouse you, it should frighten you, yes. The sinner is spiritually sleeping, and Satan is rejoicing with malicious glee, holding the sinner fast in his grip and ready to lead the sinner right into hell fire forever. The sleeping sinner is spiritually dull, dead. Asleep, a dead sleep. The sinner is very alive to the things of this world, very alive to education, travel, friends, very alive to finding work and getting settled in life, very alive to earth, very awake, very alert to the things of the world, but very drowsy. Sleeping away spiritually, very dull when it comes to eternity. The sinner is in a spiritual dream world, dreaming, dreaming, dreaming. Some people are literally dreaming of things that they think will make them happy, dreaming that they won't have to work, dreaming that one day they'll be rich, dreaming of a luxurious car or home. But others are in a dreamy state spiritually. They're living apart from Christ. They're living their lives without trust in God. In fact, they are living as if there were no God, no Christ, no Savior, no sin to be saved from, no hell to flee from. You say, how do you say that? We all go to church. We believe these things. If you really believe them, if you were spiritually awake, you would cry for mercy. There would be tears in your eyes. You'd be saying, what must I do to be saved? And the fact that you're not shows that you're spiritually sleeping, rocked to sleep by the enemy, allured by the world, awake to those things, but sleeping in regard to spiritual things. So as the dreaming person in bed has the imagination so vivid and it almost seems real, but they wake up and find out it wasn't real. So the sinner, unconverted, is dreaming and is following after those things that they think will make him or her happy, and all the while it's a delusion. It's a dream world to pursue the things of earth as if they were all that mattered. Well, that's a delusion, that's deception. The things of earth are not all that matter. You will meet your judge one day. You will appear before God one day. That's what matters. Not how much money you can make. Not how successful you can be. That doesn't matter. And if these things don't matter to you, then you're dreaming spiritually. And one more thing about the spiritually sleeping person. The person sleeping in the night is unfit for action. Tell the sleeping person, wake up, go drive a car right now. Impossible. They might have a car accident. They need to wake up first. And you are spiritually sleeping. You're unfit for spiritual activity. Suddenly producing spiritual desires, suddenly bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Impossible for the spiritually sleeping person, the one who is unregenerate, the one who is spiritually slumbering. But Christ is calling you. Awake. Wake up, spiritually slumbering soul. Awake, thou that sleepest. And he's also saying, arise from the dead. The sinner's state is also compared to death. As a dead man who is not breathing, a dead man's heart is not beating, he is not only unaware of what is going on around him, but it is not even possible to know what's happening around him because he is dead. He cannot walk, he cannot talk, he cannot even lift a finger, he cannot even think one thought. He is dead. And that is what the Word of God, that's how the Word of God describes the unregenerate. They are dead. This is something we will not ignore, we cannot. You cannot preach the gospel without proclaiming the truth about the state of sinners. The real state of sinners, apart from the grace of God, is that they are dead. They have no ability, they cannot breathe out desires to God. They cannot live with throbbing heart and liveliness towards God. They are spiritually dead. They cannot even think one good, God-glorifying thought without the Holy Spirit because they're spiritually dead. They are indeed intellectually alive. They have minds that can think. They use their reason. They calculate. They can add. They can subtract. They can multiply. They can divide. They know some grammar. They can speak different languages. Oh, yes, their minds are very active. Well, they're not brain dead. No, not in that sense at all. Oh, they're very alive when it comes to thought processes and emotions and activities and running and swimming and all the rest. They're very lively in this world, but in this world alone. Only in this world. Because they have intellectual capacity and mind ability and physical ability. They talk about and move about, but they have no spiritual ability, no spiritual power, none, because they are dead. Oh, that this would sink into your mind and yes, into your heart, that the Holy Spirit would show you, the Holy Spirit would reveal to you the darkness of death. That's why we're preaching. That's why we are here, that the Holy Spirit would show you you're dead. Show you you're dead. And it's a horrible thing to be dead. A horrible thing to be dead. It's a terrifying thing. It leaves us aghast to see a wretched, decomposing body in the grave. You want to put it out of your sight. And to be spiritually dead is to be spiritually corrupt, degenerate, decaying, loathsome, disgusting, so that the Holy One says, put the sinner out of my sight. As Matthew Poole says, those who are spiritually dead, they are full of stench and loathsomeness as they that are dead. That's describing the unbeliever. That's describing the unconverted. This is describing parents, our dear little children, who we love so much. But if they have not come to Christ and they are not born again, they are spiritually dead and they are loathsome within. How this should break our hearts and how it should break your heart, friend. How this should frighten you to be awake and to call upon God for mercy because I'm spiritually dead. A dead person cannot do anything. And a spiritually dead person is unable to do anything that glorifies God. It's revealing our total depravity, complete inability. The sinner cannot turn even one inch away from sin to God without the Holy Spirit. And this is to be truly in darkness. And Paul is speaking about those who were sometimes darkness. They used to be darkness, the Ephesians. The sinner, apart from the grace of God, the sinner who is not in Christ, is asleep in the dark night of spiritual death, unconscious of the spiritual activity that is going on around him, unaware of the gracious desires that are flowing upwards. Well, he or she can see some of the evidence, but they cannot really understand it. They don't have it themselves, and you can't understand it unless you have it yourself. The sinner is in the black, dark night of spiritual death, in a dark night of sin and misery, and a horrid, lost, and ruined condition. Is this your state? That's my question. Are you in this state right now? Do these words describe you? If you have to say, yes, they do, then you should be trembling. You should be awakened. You need to be stirred. That's why the law is preached. That's why the gospel shows us first our sins. We don't need a Savior unless we know that we're sinners. And no one will desire Christ unless they are first awakened to the reality of their lost and ruined condition. Does spiritual slumber and spiritual death describe you? Then you must be saying, what must I do to be saved? And is there any hope whatsoever for me? Should you not despair? Well, you should despair of self. You should think yourself hopeless. Absolutely hopeless in yourself. You cannot save yourself, can you? Can you save yourself? Can you make a decision? Can you simply just write your name on something and say, there it is, contract signed, I'm saved? Or if you pray hard enough, or if you time yourself to read so many verses, and you try, will that save you? No. Being dead means you have no ability. You need the grace of God. You need the light and power of the truth. You need Christ. You are hopeless in yourself. But there is hope for you in Christ. Ezekiel, remember, he was sent to the Valley of Dry Bones there in his vision. He had a vision. God was speaking and showed him the Valley of the Dry Bones. Dead people, skeletons, and these bones were scattered everywhere. The sun was beating down and the bones were bleached white. And if there was anything humanly impossible, it would be to put those bones back together again and they would rise in life. You couldn't bring skeletons to life. People cannot do that. But what is impossible for men is possible for God. And what was impossible for men is exactly what God did. And this is what Ezekiel was to preach. He was to prophesy and to speak to those very bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And you need to hear the word of the Lord as dead as you are. He is calling, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And that is what we consider secondly, the call to awake and arise. God is calling, wherefore he saith. And we conclude that this is God himself speaking, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. God created man upright. God made man holy, but it is man that rebelled. Man sinned and lost. Man lost his original righteousness, and man lost his communion with God. So spiritual life was withdrawn from his soul, and that is why man is dead in trespasses and sins. He is without the Holy Spirit. He is spiritually dead. He sinned, the Holy Spirit withdrew. Man is in a state of spiritual death and sin. But God, the Creator, is nevertheless calling sinners to return. Our Creator, our Provider, is calling us from heaven. He who has the sovereign rule over all his creatures has the right to require submission and obedience. The Confession of Faith says that to him is due from angels and men and every other creature, whatsoever worship, service, and obedience he requires of them. Whatever it is, he is sovereign. He requires, and he requires repentance. He requires you to awake. He requires you to arise. Though you're spiritually dead, he is calling you, and he's saying, come. But this is a great mercy, isn't it? To think that God is not allowing the sinner to go on in sin, not willing to let the sinner just go on in spiritual slumber without being called. Called. And he is calling. Are you hearing his voice? Are you hearing his voice? Will you not turn? Will you not turn to him and live? He's calling. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will you go down to hell? Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Like the shipmaster who said to Jonah, when Jonah was fast asleep at the bottom of the ship, he said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. When God is calling you, surely you should be calling on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When the Lord is calling us to awake and to arise, he's calling us to repentance. He's calling us to turn and live. He's calling us to himself. He's calling us to faith. And believing in Christ is the first thing that a living soul does. Repentance is, as it were, the first baby step of a new creature in Christ, a newborn soul, stepping toward God. He, the God of heaven, is calling you to arise, come. But now you're saying, if the sinner is in a state of spiritual sleep, or worse, a condition of spiritual death, how can God say, arise? How can God command repentance and faith to those who have no ability to do so? What good would it do to tell a man who is dead in the grave, rise up? But you see, this is the very way God saves sinners. It is the very way God's call is the very way that he raises the dead, so that those who are spiritually dead, they are raised from the dead by means of his call. That is the very way. So do not be surprised. He is commanding sinners to come. Yes, those who are dead in sin, he's commanding them to come. And it is when his word and spirit come forth together that the sinner then rises from spiritual death. You see, God saves sinners through the means of grace. God has decreed from eternity that sinners will be saved and that sinners will be converted through the means of the word, the preaching of the gospel. Yes, it's a spiritual resurrection that takes place. Sinners are spiritually dead and they cannot raise themselves. They are incapable of one good thought. But the Lord Jesus Christ saves by his word. Let's never forget that. It is his word that saves. Remember the man with the withered hand, his hand was paralyzed, and Christ told the man, stretch forth thine hand. The Lord Jesus was addressing the man's real problem. By saying, stretch forth thy hand, he was telling the man to do the very thing he could not do. It was an impossibility, but Christ still commanded it, and when he spoke, power went forth at the very same time, and the man stretched forth his hand. And so this is what we rely on, the power of God in preaching. We're not depending on your power, and we're not, I hope, depending upon our powers of persuasion. We're to preach with all our heart and might, but at the end of the day, it is the power of God that is made effectual, that makes the word of God effectual to salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The preaching of the gospel God uses to convince and convert sinners. And remember the man with the withered hand, did he quibble and quarrel? Did he say, well, do not mock me. I can't do that. No, he didn't. What he did do was probably have his eyes fixed upon the Savior, and he said, this man from Galilee, I have heard about him. He can give amazing cures, and he is telling me to do the thing I cannot do. I have hope in him. It probably kindled a desire in his heart that the Lord would heal his hand. This is the effect that the preaching should have on you. There's hope for you. Though you're spiritually dead, you're hearing from the word of God, him who is calling you, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Is there any desire now? Can you not feel your heart being tugged? that you would experience this life, that the Lord would indeed illuminate the darkness of your mind and soul, that he would draw you to Christ. Again, Ezekiel was preaching to the dry bones, and he spoke to them the very thing that described their problem. O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So on, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. God is speaking to sinners. And when the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Spirit, enters into the soul, then there is life. God is commanding the sinner to live, yes, to repent, to believe. And it is by his power alone that the sinner comes to Christ and repents of sin. But you see, that is why we preach. That is why we preach to sinners as such who are dead, because we're relying on the power of the Spirit. And that's what you need to be taken up with. And even this moment, may the Holy Spirit be convincing you to awake. Awake, spiritually slumbering soul. Awake to spiritual realities. You need to be startled. You need to be concerned. You need to recognize your slumbering condition. You have a rational thinking mind. You can think. And you should be laying to heart this condition of yours. The Word of God reasons with you. Come now, let us reason together. Are you content to slumber into hellfire? Is the cold grave not a picture well enough to describe to you your situation that will go on to eternity in everlasting isolation and the blackness of darkness forever? When will you tremble? When will you awake? When you will be frightened into reality, what is your response? Yes, I ask you, what is your response? If you're not willing to respond now, you will have to give an account before the Creator. You cannot excuse yourself. You can't make any excuses to say, well, I never heard the gospel. I never heard that Christ came to save sinners. And you can't make an excuse of this either. I'm dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord will not allow that excuse. He has the right to call you. He has the right to call you to repentance. And there are people in hell right now who know that they have heard the gospel, but they chose their sins instead of Christ. And so we are guilty of loving our sin more than the Savior. And isn't that a high crime? Isn't that most awful to think that I, a person whom God created, would actually love my sins more than the blessed Savior? That describes my depravity. That should shake me up. Oh, friend, if that doesn't shake you up, it just proves you're spiritually slumbering. Spiritual slumber and spiritual death does not do away with our accountability before God. And the gospel leaves us without excuse all the more, because life is held out to us. Life, deliverance, the remedy is presented. Christ is calling, God is calling, and he's calling to those who are dead in sin, calling us still, speaking to those who are unregenerate, speaking to those who love their sins. And this is what he is saying in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long? How long, ye simple ones? Oh, may the Spirit bless these words to you this very moment. How long, ye simple ones? You just love a simple life. You don't want to think about eternity. You don't want to think about meeting your God. Ye simple ones, how long will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You don't value the knowledge of God as you should. But oh, maybe this is stirring you up this very moment. Do you still love death? Do you still love this spiritual sleep? How long will you slumber? When will you awake? When will you arise? Shake thyself from the dust. Rise up. Stop cleaving to sin. Come to Christ. The pleasures of sin are for a season. Let conscience speak to you. Yes, you have that much. Conscience telling you, you grapple, dabble with sin. It will lead to your eternal ruin. Conscience knows, you know. Pray then that the Holy Spirit would arrest you, draw you to Christ, that you would come forth from the spiritual prison, the spiritual darkness, come out of the spiritual grave of spiritual death. Come forth, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, that's the third point, the light and power of Christ. Christ shall give thee light. You cannot shine in yourself and produce your own light. No, Christ shall give thee light. Literally, Christ shall shine on you. Christ will pour upon you the light of divine truth, just as the sun above gives light to people who are being aroused from sleep. The light comes through the window and people are stirring and ready to get up and do their work. Well, the light is power, and the light is Christ. We must not think that the sinner must first awake and rise and then Christ will shine with his light. That would be impossible. The sinner is dead. It is the light. It is the light that makes the sinner alive. It is just as when the Savior tells us in John chapter 5, verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." The dead shall hear. It's not as if they first hear his voice and then they live. But it's the voice of Jesus Christ that makes them live. What we're being told is that it's Christ who gives light. It's Christ who makes you awake. It's Christ who makes you alive. Well, that means there is hope for you and me. You may be here tonight and saying, "Yes, I believe I see my sin more clearly. I believe I understand my state as spiritual death. I can't think one good thought. I have no desires for Christ. I'm beginning to shake in my seat. I'm really feeling this to be a reality now. But is there any hope for me? How shall I live?" Answer: Christ. Christ shall give thee light. His light is your life. His light is your only hope. His light is the cause of being awakened and being alive. Life comes by his voice. Life comes by him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he who is the faithful witness, he is the truth. He sheds light. He gives light. With that light comes life. Remember that he is the Son of righteousness. The sunshine. The sun arising over the horizon, the sun is rising, and Jesus is the Son of righteousness, and he arises with healing in his wings. So those who are spiritually slumbering, those who are in spiritual graves, when Christ shines into their souls, they arise. By his grace, they come forth from the spiritual grave, just as Jesus, who is the light of the world, called to Lazarus, Lazarus, who was dead, but he spoke to him. He spoke to a dead man. But this is what he said: "Lazarus, come forth." And power went forth from him, power in his word, and power into Lazarus, and Lazarus rose and came forth. And that's what we are longing for in your case, to see the power of God at work. The call is issued forth, come to Christ. The call comes forth, repent of your sin, turn and live, and we are longing for the Holy Spirit to come and take your soul and bring you to Christ. And when he comes, is it just like that? You're sitting doing nothing and suddenly the Holy Spirit takes you and brings you to Christ? No, it's not like that. You're hearing the word. You're beginning to see your sin. You're beginning to feel something, I need Christ. And you're beginning to cry for mercy. That's the Spirit working. And when you get a little bit of light, and you begin to see Christ, and your heart goes out to him, that is the Holy Spirit accompanying the word and bringing you to Christ. So don't be mistaken. Don't be just sitting around waiting for something to happen, friend. No way. Seek the Lord. Come. Cry. Pray that the Lord would show you yourself. Lord, show me. Show me I'm dead in sin. Show me these things. It's not having any effect upon me. I'm still dull and indifferent. I know my heart tells me that I love those things and not these things in the scriptures. Your conscience will tell you whether that's the case or not. Then cry, Lord, show me. Show me myself. Show me my sins. And show me Christ. Show me the light. Cause me to see Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, may Christ be my prophet to reveal to me by the word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is light and life. He is wisdom and power. And this is he whom we preach. We hold forth Christ to you, that you would gaze upon him, that you would learn of him, and that you would seek him. He is wisdom, revealing the salvation that he came to purchase. He is power, because he has done what was necessary to reconcile sinners to God. He has offered himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He died on the cross with outstretched arms, pierced in his hands and feet. His blood was shed. Why did he die? Why did he pour out his soul unto death? To stand in the place of guilty sinners, so that through him they would be reconciled to God, that he would bring them to God, that God would no longer be angry with them, but God's wrath would be turned away, and that they would have life. They would enjoy the favor of God in their souls. Christ is calling you. Christ, who is the light of the world, is held out for you. Gaze upon him. He says, if any man see the Son and believe on him, he may be saved. And he will raise that person up on the last day. It is Christ who saves. He doesn't save by darkness. He doesn't save by ignorance. But we are endeavoring to present to you a Savior who calls sinners, who receives sinners, who died for sinners. He's ready to teach sinners. Christ, the wisdom of God. Think on him. Meditate on him. See him crucified for sinners like you. What gracious words came forth from his lips when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he died for them. And he also said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And it's now that the dry bones live. They're gathering together. The flesh is put upon them. The Holy Spirit of life is breathed into them. They're coming to the priestly king. They're coming, being made willing in a day of power, to the great Melchizedek, the great high priest. And of him it is said, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Christ has a numerous offspring. People are coming to him. They're gathering around him. They're gathering and coming to him. Is that you? Is that what you desire? Oh, pray that he would draw you. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And when a sinner is spiritually awakened and repenting, that sinner has come out of the darkness. That sinner has come out of the spiritual grave and the darkness of worldliness and wicked ways. And when that sinner is looking to Christ, Christ will shine on them still. Christ will enable them to be the salt of the earth. And you, child of God, go forth as a light bearer and pray that God will strengthen you to reprove sin around you, that you would hold forth the word of life, the truth that is here before you and in your heart and life. And he will give you comfort. He will assure you of his love. He will give you power. The light is the symbol of knowledge, comfort, and purity. Embrace the light and pray that his light would shine from you, that the light from you would reveal their sin, but also dispel their darkness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring them also, that they also would experience, and pray that all of us would experience these gracious words, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, enable us to give thanks that Christ is the light of the world, and that he is working. He is working still, even in our day. And we have all his precious promises. Oh, that we would come to the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, he said, but shall have the light of life. So give us, we pray, that light and that life, and strengthen our hearts. Bless thy word, save our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen.